Good evening. See, now I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Verse number 7, one verse. Just doing something a little bit different tonight, so just kind of bear with me. In Genesis chapter 4, verse number 7, it reads, If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Let us pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for this time we have, Father, to sharing your word, Lord God, and your fellowship, singing songs to you, Father. And we're just so grateful, Lord, for this day that you have given us. And we know, dear God, that you are faithful, you are good, you are righteous, you are holy, you are pure, you are all things to all men, Father. And we pray, dear God, that we would acknowledge these things and continue to stand on your word and continue to trust in you. Bless us, dear God, as we hear your word, Lord, and let us be edified, Lord God, as you are glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 4 and 7. Now, we know the context, and I just wanted to deal with that particular verse because there's a lot. For whatever reason, I really kind of wrestled putting this message together. Perhaps because it is sort of personal for me. And I titled this message, Ruling Over Sin. From this verse and other passages, we will be examining the nature of sin and its effects on the human experience and how God calls us as individual members of his church to rule over it. Before we start, I wanted to just, I guess, somewhat of a confession. Really been struggling, and it's not a secret. Been dealing with some things, and it's easier when you're struggling to point outward. That's one of the most natural things that we do as human beings. We always look to circumstances, or we'll look to things that are on the outside of us. So I had to take stock of my own personal life and my spirit and my heart and practice what I know to be right. Self-examination is something that the scriptures teach. So I spend time doing that. One of the biggest things in really just realizing that I have not been prioritizing God. Namely, my place of employment, my job, that I've had for over 13 years. And I really love my job. It's like my second family. It's a big part of who I am as a person. But I realized recently that I've allowed that love to cloud and to distract me from what the true priority is, and that's Christ. So that is a bit of a confession, and I've realized the error of my ways, and I resolve to turn and seek Christ with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So this is a personal message. Because I understand the nature and the tyranny of sin once it gets a hold of you. And once you decide in your heart that you know better than God, it doesn't work. And you can even try to justify, and I've done this, using the word, well, I said, well, you know, they want me there all the time, and they always need me, and they're always tugging on me and calling me at home all times of the night. And of course I have to respond. I have to be there, you know, because Jesus said, you know, go the extra mile. Why not? They need me and I want to be there. And besides, our residents are being neglected when there's no one to work. But again, I have to realize that my priorities are different. I have Christ in my heart. And the priorities, His priorities are now mine. And that is to be a light. And I can't be a light if I'm always drawn away by the needs, even things that are noble, even things that I have convinced in my heart that were right. And that's one of the biggest things about sin, because and even when I read in the bulletin this morning, we can convince within our hearts that something that we believe is right, and we could talk ourselves into it, but guess what? That's what God warned Cain. Because the minute we begin to reason with God instead of trusting Him, sin crouches at the door. And then we become, and we fall into the pattern of sin. And when we wander away from God. Similar to the children of Israel, refusing to listen to God had them wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And they were never able to see the promised land. And there are countless examples in the Bible of this very principle. We know the story. It's the story of Cain and Abel, where Cain was angry with his brother because his offering was accepted and his was not. But God confronted Cain on a personal basis. He confronted Cain face to face and He told him the reality of it. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Now, what does it mean to do well? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 45. In Isaiah 45, starting at verse number 18, it reads, "For thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." To do well, if you do well, simply listening to God. We do well to listen to God. We do well to heed the scripture where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. We do well to heed the words of the prophet Isaiah, who says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. High as the heavens is or above the earth, so high are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways your ways." Or the prophet Jeremiah says, who the ways of man are not within himself. It is not for man that walks to order his own steps. We can read it, we can know it, but does not exempt us from being deceived by sin. And it's a simple thing. But again, because we are those that belong to the church, we have the grace and we have God in His Word confronting us in each and every moment, and we can be grateful for that. And when God confronts us, we have the opportunity to listen, and some don't. Sometimes you have to take your lumps. Sometimes you just have to keep hitting that wall until you realize that God is. And that's the beautiful thing about grace. So, examining this from our perspective, we know that the world around us is in a constant state of falling. I know many of people that think that their lives are acceptable to God because they do so much good. I do this. I take care of this person. I give. I'm everybody tell it. They're the best person in the world. Why would God reject them? But they don't understand. But we do. We understand that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. We know that it is only by His sacrifice and His grace that we are able to be accepted in the Beloved. We know these things because the Scripture tells us. We know these things because the Word has shown us the depths of evil in our hearts. We understand these things by practical experience because we walk with the Lord every day. He is with us and He speaks to our hearts even in the night seasons, as the Scripture tells us in the Psalms. On our beds, He's speaking to us. When we rise, He's trying to get us to a place of fellowship with Him. That's God's desire for us, that we would walk with Him, that we would trust in Him. Man, He's trustworthy. Is He not? James chapter 4. James 4, in the last verse, it says, in verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So listening to God, and it's not just about practice, but really listening to God. Because we can do the same thing. We can prioritize our religious duties or our morality or our ritual practices and not have God at all. Paul makes this point when he told those Jews, he said, I take it you have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. And the only truth is Christ. The only truth, the only way is Christ. The only life is Christ. And He is our life. The only morality is Christ. The only peace is Christ. The bread of life, the living water, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000, He is God. And this God wants us to know Him and wants us to share in all the glory that He is. That's our message. Our message is not do this or do that. Our message is know your God and know all that He has done for you. This is what brings people to the cross. Knowing that He is. He is their Creator. And He created all things. And He created every man for His purpose and His glory. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All that live upon it all belong to Him. He owns the cattle in 1,000 hills. All the beasts of the field is His. Psalm 50 tells us all things belong to Him. In His hand is the life of every living creature and the breath of all mankind. Job tells us this very truth. He owns the stars. He owns the mountains. He owns the rivers. He owns the valleys. He owns every bird of the air, every beast of the field. He's God. And when people realize His authority, they won't be so quick to reject Him. But of course you'll have some that will. But ultimately, that's the message. Know your God. If we want to change and struggle with the issues of life, know our God. If we want to see people flooding into this community, we tell them who their God is and what He has done for them. He left the glories of heaven. He came down and walked among us. And the God of all glory desired to make Himself known to the chiefest of sinners, to the most rebellious of rebels, to the evilest, I don't know if that's a word, to the evilest of evil men. He sought to make Himself known. If you do well, and to do well is to listen to the only one that's always right. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The only one that knows all things. Man is limited in his knowledge. You take all the knowledge of man for all of human history and you put it up to God, it doesn't even compare. He has all knowledge and all wisdom and all authority. He is God. So He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. He knows how we need it. He knows what we don't need. He knows what we need before we even ask Him. But He must test our hearts. He must try our reins. He must prove us faithful. He must see if we are really going to seek after Him and not our own. You do well to listen to God. Proverbs chapter 8. Starting at verse number 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. We know Proverbs chapter 8 is the wisdom chapter, but we know what the wisdom represents. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. So listen to Christ. Moses, when he was prophesying of the Christ, he said there will be a prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18. There will be a prophet like unto myself. Hear him. Listen to that prophet. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, Peter got all excited when he saw Moses and Elijah, and he said, we're going to make three tabernacles. God wasn't having that. The light blinded them, and all they saw was Jesus. And they heard that voice saying, this is the one that you listen to. I know you were conditioned by the law and the prophets, and that's the way you were raised, but Christ has come. And just like the Hebrew writer says, now in these last days, in Hebrews chapter 1, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he made heir of all things, and through him he made the worlds. Will you not be accepted? What does it mean to be accepted of God? Romans chapter 12. Starting at verse number 1, it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Willing to be accepted. By nature, we are naturally wired for self-preservation. But what does God say? Sacrifice. What does God tell us to do? The opposite of what our nature wants to do. Be comfortable. Hold back. But God says, sacrifice. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. But your living sacrifice is what God accepts. And Jesus put it this way. He said, take up your cross daily and follow after me. And we know what the cross represents. Death. Dying daily to our own selves, our own agendas, goals, ambitions, dreams, and whatever we have in mind. God said, kill it and follow him. And he is the true path to true life. Leave your life in this world behind. And you will gain it for eternal life. Micah 6, under verse 16, he has shown you, O man, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And we can't walk with God without self-sacrifice. It doesn't work. It doesn't. And if we're trying to do that, we are simply deceiving ourselves. We're simply under the tyranny of sin. Jesus said, he who sins is a slave to sin. And the prophet warns us that the soul that sins shall surely die. But we have the grace of our God to ensure that we will see life. As long as we can get up, as long as we can realize the error of our ways and go forward. The scripture says the righteous man can fall 7 times. Each time he can rise because he has the power of God. Micah the prophet, he didn't say, if I fall. He said, when I fall, I will arise. Why? Because the Lord is my vindication. He will vindicate me. So we realize what we have in Christ. We realize that he is as close as our very next breath, as close as our very next heartbeat. And yet he sits in the heavens and he does what pleases him. So whatever our lot in life, God is in control. And he is working things out for the good, even our folly. There's no way to justify sinful behavior. But Christ is able to turn your mess into a message. Because he is God. And his love is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Now, of course, we have a part to play in this. We have to commit ourselves to learning, to growing, to doing what the scripture says, to coming together, to pray, to seeking the Lord with all of our hearts. To not being conformed to the patterns of this world. When we do that, God will show his grace and his faithfulness to us. If you do not do well, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. That correlates back to our text. We don't listen to God. We subject ourselves to all kinds of sin and evil and degradation and deception. That's what happens. But we thank God that he said, if you abide in my word, Jesus told those Jews in John chapter 8, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we hold fast to the truth, and we will be free from everything that holds us and keeps us from knowing our God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth as he requires. Because the word, as the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrew 4, is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I love this saying while we're reading the scriptures is reading us. Examining our motives and our desires and testing us and making us worthy of our God. And He is already resolved from all of eternity to make us worthy. So the victory is ours. We just have to hold on to that truth. That He is our God and He is for us. And who can be against us? And He didn't spare His own Son. Will He not give us freely all things to enjoy? He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us the fellowship of the saints. All that we need in order to live godly lives in Christ. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse number 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So this is the church. So no man is exempt from having his heart hardened. This is why we hold fast to the truth. And it talks about it, exhortation, and that's part of it. Exhorting one another. We've exhausted all of those teachings on the one another things, and this is a part of what helps us to overcome our sin. We don't have to be invasive, but at the very least, are we praying? Are we seeking to encourage? I believe the scripture says to outdo one another in acts of love and kindness. Why? Because you never know. You don't know who's dealing with what. But a kind word can go a long way. I'm praying for you. Or I thought about you. I'll call. All of these things make a difference. And it encourages us to continue in the fight. So these are the things we want to consider. We know the fruit of the flesh. According to Galatians chapter 5. And trust me, and again, listen, these letters are written to Christians. Verse number 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. These are Christians. These are believers. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if we know anything about the scriptures and what Jesus taught, you don't have to practice these things to be lost. If these things are a part of your heart, guess what? Because Jesus deals with the intent. He said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Whoever hates his brother has committed murder in his heart. And it takes nothing for these things to crowd, to enter the heart of someone who refuses to listen to God. And we know the power of deception, because there will be many, as Jesus teaches us in Matthew 7. If we go back to Matthew 7, there are going to be many in that day. Starting at verse number 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And what is the emphasis on? Knowing God. So let's make sure that we know our God. We can know our liturgy, we can know our convictions, we can know our doctrine, we can know our Bibles. Do we know Him? Does He know us? That's the question. That's the question for the Christian. That's the question we all have to ask ourselves on a daily basis. Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's be people after God's own heart. Yeah, we're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble. But we can know Him. And His grace is sufficient for us in our time of weakness. So we know sin lies at the door. The minute we stop listening to God. And we know its desire is for us or you. And it's personal, because remember, this is a conversation between God and Cain alone. And this is for us as individuals to recognize where we are. Sin's desire is for you. And there's an Old Testament passage that I've never really been too fond of, but it certainly applies. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I used to love to read, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I used to love to read about all the blessings that you receive. But going on further down into the chapter, verse number 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And this is the verse that gets me. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will do this. And of course, we know the scriptures. We refuse to listen to God. He will give us over to those things. He doesn't have much of a choice, because his nature cannot tolerate these things. And why would he? He's holy. The Hebrew writer describes him as a consuming fire, consuming all impurities. Scripture says, to the pure, all things are pure. So let us, as the scriptures instruct us, purify our hearts in obeying the truth. Not a one-time thing. It's something that we do moment by moment. We give our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our souls and our spirits over to the Lord. You must rule over it. And I talked about earlier, there's no rule for those that refuse to obey God. But our ruler, we are the church of the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 1. And we'll be closing. Starting in verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has conquered these things on our behalf. And as Paul said, we are seated with him in heavenly places. So we can live above these things. Is it challenging? Absolutely. But it can be done. And God has provided everything needed. We just simply have to believe that he is. Sin is a devouring beast, and it will literally destroy your life and ultimately your soul if you continue in it. Christ is our only hope against sin, and if we have not submitted to him and his gospel, we are bound for destruction. We want to take heed to God's word. As John instructs us in John 6, we ought to hear and be taught. So it's more than just hearing. James tells us to be doers, not just hearers only. So if we're taught something, that means that we are putting it into practice. Turn away from sin, and not just simply changing your behavior, but turning your heart towards him. Let the evil man forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts, and let us turn to the Lord, for he will abundantly heart in Isaiah 55. That is called repentance. Repentance is not just about stopping certain behaviors. It's about turning our hearts to Him and changing our hearts. Because we could change our hearts and be the same person. We could change our ways and still be bound for hell. But if Christ, we allow Him to invade our hearts and change us from the inside out, He will do it. That's what He came for, to rescue the hearts of men. And we know as an act of faith, what Jesus said, he who believed and is baptized will be saved. Paul talks about baptism and what it does in Romans chapter 6. And that is a part of what Christ has told us. And a lot of people are stubborn on these points. But guess what? They have no means of salvation if they deny the plain teaching of the Scripture. And we'd be willing to confess Him before men, not being ashamed of Him. And He said, if we're willing to make that confession before men, then He will confess us before the Father in heaven. And as we take these steps, we continue to live faithfully before Him.